Welcome back. Joining me now as we wrap up the day's market action is Willem Oldewager from Nitrogen Fund Managers and David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. Gents, thanks so much for your time today. So most of the day spent in risk-off territory as we eyed those U.S. inflation numbers and digested some COVID-19 news. So let's start off with those U.S. inflation figures that we did see come through. Inflation accelerating to 6.8%. Willem, what does that signal for you in terms of what we're going to see come out from the Fed?
I think 6.8%, if you just listen to that, US CPI at 6.8%, I mean, that's more than South African CPI. So it's a very high number, but luckily, I think it's the first time in maybe 2-3 months where it's actually in line with analyst expectations, which I think signals the fact that the market's connected to the sort of underlying economy and people were sort of expecting this and pricing this in. So it's fairly positive. I don't think it's going to change the Fed's stance. I see there's some commentary that it could push out tapering and rate hikes, but I think it's sort of in line, and rate hikes are also in line, which means I don't think it changes our monetary policy expectations for 2022.
David, are you seeing what Willem's seeing there? Do you think the Fed's going to stick to its plan? No surprises there. We're not going to have quicker tapering or rate hikes coming in sooner than expected.
You know, there's so much confusion around it. And I think what you have to watch is the labor market, because for the Fed to change its stance, you're going to need 400,000 jobs each month for a number of months. And I think they're still dominated by that side of it. I think the other thing is this Fed, the inflation number that we see now, I think is going to be peak inflation. From now on, oil prices are going to come down. We already seeing supply chain issues easing as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if we don't start to see this transitory inflation starting to fall. I'm not using transitory in the, we've all got different definitions and so on, but I think you're going to start to see it peaking now and start easing on that, which is going to give the market some comfort, because U.S. markets are going through the roof, as we see now. They're trading much higher. That's why I'm trying to reconcile it with our market, which has gone the other way. But this is probably, the peak kind of numbers that we're going to see.
Okay, so peak numbers, we're going to have to see what the Fed says. But I think, David, you've even said before, Jerome Powell doesn't like to surprise us. He's pretty much what he says he's going to do, he does. So let's hope he sticks to that, and we'll see what comes out of the Fed. But then, like I said, COVID fear is also still a big theme that the market is trying to digest. We had that recent report saying that Omicron is far more contagious, but doesn't seem at the moment to be as deadly. And the market, taking some comfort from that. Willem, on that front, how are you playing this market? How are you responding to all this? It's bad news, it's good news, it's bad news, it's good news.
Mm-hmm. I think we're lucky that we're in South Africa. So, and we've got lots of the sort of first frontline data coming out, and I think it's not as bad as any of the previous Beta or Delta variants. Just the main indicator I think worth looking at is the cases and then the hospitalizations. NetCCO came out, I think, yesterday or the day before, sort of stating to the market that this is the case, that hospitalizations are much lower. And if you just did the data is out there now, I mean, you don't even see a fourth wave in the hospitalization figures, which I think is very positive, which means that the virus may be mutating in a way where it commutes earlier or easier, but it's far less deadly and far less severe as an illness, which I think is a positive thing. But we're still very, very early into this globally, so we'll just sort of keep our finger on the pulse there.
Very early, so markets could still be taking direction in terms of what headlines come to the fore on that front. But how COVID plays out, certainly going to affect the economy, and that perhaps affecting commodity players. And we did see Anglo American out with an update today. That's looking quite positive. They are saying they're going to have a better 2022, and they're saying 35% growth over the next decade with margins of 50%. David, what are you making of what they're putting on the table there?
But that's very ambitious. I mean, and to try and forecast where commodity markets go, you've got to be a very brave person, even if you are from Anglo American, because I don't know whether we can really trust forecasts. And here it is coming from an accountant in the bottom end of South Africa who just reads headlines and that. But having followed markets, it is so difficult. How many times have we got the oil price wrong? How many times have we got iron ore prices, copper prices, all of those wrong? So I think at the end of the day, they've got to know the quality of their mines and the lowest price at which they can mine. But I think that's, for me, I'm not going to buy a 35%. What did you say? 35% increase over the next so many years.
Over the next decade, yeah, with margins of 50%.
The market didn't quite believe them today. You know, and if you look at our market, it got absolutely pummeled because there's fears of, exactly as you were talking about, Willem, you know, of Omicron, of this slowing down the economy. So you've got a disconnect between American markets and our market and European markets. But I think American markets are going to dominate. Let's back the inflation story over the Omicron story.
Well, like David highlighting there, if you're looking at Anglo-American, you've got to take some kind of stance on where you see commodity prices going in the near term. Looking at Anglo-American, looking at commodity prices, where are you sitting on that?
I think I agree with what he says completely. Operationally, they might improve 35% over the next 10 years, but to forecast an earnings growth of that number is a bit overconfident, I think. And then the amount of money they're going to spend, there's been a lot of sort of dissent from the market, from platinum producers, sort of the recent transactions, all the mines, African Rainbow is buying Bokoni from AMS, Implats and Northam are buying for Royal Bafokeng. It's sort of a very late cycle to do all this. You know, it's sort of, I don't know if management, like, they've got very big headed in all these cases. I mean, all the money flowing in have seemed like it's gone to their heads. So I agree. I don't think you should take that number as the crystal ball figure for the next 10 years.
Well, Willem, they can't hold on. You know, if you've watched mining over the years and that, as soon as they make money, it starts to eat at them. They've got to do something. They don't want to give it back to shareholders. So sooner or later, you know, you're going to see a lot of corporate action. And we've got platinum where, you know, both platinum and palladium have come down. And I don't know where it's going, but everybody says this is the super metal. I'm waiting for it to happen. But listen, I've got the iron ore price completely wrong, so don't take my forecast seriously.
Okay, so David coming in with a bit of a caveat there, but you're talking about miners sitting on cash that they've got to put somewhere, and Amplats today saying that they're going to put 4 billion rand into extending their De Broken project in Limpopo. Looking at Amplats, though, do you like them, David? Is that something you'd look at in the Anglo stable?
I don't know where it's going. Honestly, as I was saying, to try and read commodity prices are very high. The only commodities I do like are those that are going to be connected with clean energy and with battery power and that. And I think that's a correct kind of movement. But I'm waiting for platinum to show its head because everybody tells me it's one of the metals of the future and it's hovering around 950. I'm saying, this is, you know, if it is, why aren't people buying it? But I'm in favor of extending our mining here as well. And I'm, from a South African point of view, the fact that they are investing in new mines and that creates employment and so on. But if I'm going to back something, it's going to be the BHPs and the Anglos and the diversified miners, but hoping that they do extend their reach into the cleaner metals.
RMH also coming out today saying that their NAV per share down due to that special dividend that they did pay out to shareholders. Willem, you looked at the numbers. What did you make of what they put out to market?
I think it was exactly in line with expectation. RMH, I'm pretty sure the investment case there for most shareholders is a final unbundling of all the assets, Atterbury, Diversity, Integer. And they've had some approaches over the last two or three months, but I don't think any of those were good enough. So it's fairly positive. I mean, you'd have to take, I think the NAV today was maybe 2.65 if you just divide it by the number of shares. And the offers would have ended you up with something like maybe 2.10. So it's trading at 1.50, 1.40. It's a fairly cheap stock. So if you believe in the fact that they are going to be able to unlock the value, it is definitely a good stock to hold on to, yes.
Yes, because we did have a viewer say to us, you know, they own the stock. Should they hold on to it or should they sell? David, do you have a view on RMH?
I don't know what they're going to do with it. I thought they were going to, you know, build this company up. I mean, if you're not going to build it up, just give the money back. You know, do something. And you saw an RMI as well. So I'm hoping that they actually, having unbundled the first round and having unbundled all the listed vehicles, that they actually start to build up some kind of private equity stake as well. You know, I'm a bit confused about what they're doing in RMI. So it's all the same team, you know, but hopefully they're going to actually use the money that they've got or use those assets to build something big. You know, otherwise, give it back. You know, just don't let it lie there. So I'm a big critic of a lot of these, what would you call lazy type of companies. You know, do something or give it to us. Give the money to us. Yeah.
Okay.
That's so my theme for 2022. You know.
Good to know how you're going into 2022. Is there a stock pick that you are taking with you into the new year, David?
Yeah, but it's not easy. I love luxury. You know, to me... And I've been looking at Hermes. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm going to do it as I would, Hermes. But I think that the luxury margins and the amount of, you know, as we come out of this pandemic, I think people are going to go mad and spend and do things and that. And it's one that I haven't bought. I'm an LVMH man, but I think this is as high as it is. I think it's just one that you can add to your luxury kind of basket.
Okay,
Hermes, I'll spell it out, H-E-R-M-E-S. We can't afford the products, but we can afford the shares. Okay.
Done. I think you pronounce it Hermes, but Hermes does it for us, right? William, are you choosing something more pronounceable today?
Yes, mine's quite easy. It's Advitech. So I've been looking since last week for something that's worth buying. Advitech has incredibly high quality earnings, a high quality management team. And it's sort of the mid cap in South Africa is one of the few places where there's sort of real value hiding. So we do look there often, and just sort of an okay dividend yield with real dividend growth, and then sort of a 15 PE, but with, I mean, they grow earnings, I don't know, 6-7% a year, every single year, no question. You know, no matter if it's a pandemic or if there's a water shortage. So, you know, just sort of high quality, sort of long-term investment is Advitech.
Well, on that note, let's leave it there, Jane. Thanks so much for your time this evening. That was Willem Oldewager from Nitrogen Fund Managers and David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities.